great to be here, and we love that the whole place of faith and the power of God. There, you know, God has not diminished in one iota, but you know, I talk to myself. We've been around a long time, and it's easy to allow the enemy to kind of diminish that place of faith. Because we need miracles. We need mighty things happening every day. And the moment you think everything's going swimmingly, something happens. And we need to exercise our faith and move on it. Just before I get going, because I can get sidetracked, we've got some books downstairs, some Bible plans. I know some of you use them already. There's a book that Joyce wrote called Can You Hear God? I mentioned this book yesterday, Help Yourself to Health. It's how we remain spiritually healthy, and also our daily devotional faith food, which I'll probably say a bit more about a little bit later. But let's just carry on. So also, we send a message out every week. The reason this book came into being is that probably for the last 20 years, we have written every Wednesday, or it comes out every Wednesday, what we call Word for the Week. And it's intended to minister faith. It's intended to just give you something that will push you into the power of God. And then after about 15 years or whatever it was, someone said to us, why don't you put it into a book? So we did, and we put it into a book. And we actually read it every day. A lot of folks read it. Some people comment, say, oh, I'm really blessed by today's faith food. I thought, well, if I haven't read it, how can I kind of respond to someone's enthusiasm? So we read it to each other. I do the reading. I read it out loud. And then at the end of it, we work out which one we thought wrote it. Joyce said, you wrote that? I said, no, you wrote that. So that's a little kind of joke. But I do know there are some folks that I've been ministering, you know, we folks ministering in our church, and I know folks going through kind of a couple going through a battle. I just said to you, I just need to say to you, you just need to read faith food every day. Because as I was reading it in the morning, I just thought, hey, that's just the word that this couple need. I thought, I hope they're reading it. Because the kind of things that they were talking about that was really dragging them down, God was ministering to as they were reading faith food. Okay. Well, why are you here? That's my question. Why have you come? Why have you placed yourself here in this place at this time on this particular day? You don't need to answer that loud, but you do need to know the answer. I'm here because God is here. I'm here because the body of Christ has gathered. I'm here because I'm part of God's family. And it's not a perfect family, but it's a family. And there's never been a perfect family. And so therefore, we all have our ups and downs. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, but we come because we need to meet with God. I come because I want to worship him. I come because I want to hear his word. I come because there are brothers and sisters who are here who they will encourage me, and I want to encourage them. And therefore, when I wake up on a Sunday morning, I don't actually think about what I'm going to do. The choice has already been made. I am going to meet with God's people. And I just found, as God was speaking to me, I just felt there were a number of things, and these are the key things I want to share with you. We start by looking at Psalm 40. Look at Psalm 40. I'd like to read the first number of verses in Psalm 40, actually 1 through to verse 8. Here is a Psalm of David. It's a cry out of his heart. He's talking about what's in his heart and how God responds to him. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of a slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes his trust, the Lord his trust. He does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. You see, the first reason we come together, as happens here, happens in our church background, we set our hearts, we start to worship the Lord. And the reason we do this, we want to glorify him. But the reason we do this is that we will come in with all kinds of stuff going on in our head, okay? You may have had a terrible week. You may have a personal crisis. You may have things in your life that you think, hey, this is, I don't like this. When we walk through the door, we don't sort of cue you up and listen to every kind of scenario. Come on, tell me your scenario. What are you struggling with? Don't do that. We come here and we worship God. Because what happens is this, that as we get our eyes on him, he will do something that will just completely, he will transform our thinking. He will enable us to get the right perspective on things. Things don't necessarily change, but we change. So suddenly I come in with anxiety. I come in with all kinds of offenses. I come in with people having been unkind to me. I come with personal tragedies. I might come in with grief. And I stand in the presence of God. And he just does something in my life. I need that. The reason I come to be with the believers on Sunday morning is I need that. I don't find that anywhere else. I don't find that at having a picnic with the kids. I find that in the presence of the Lord. And I say that with all my heart, because I just discover that there is just a kind of, you know, what do we do on the weekend? It's almost, what do we do on the weekend? Well, I never ask the question because I've got the answer already. I don't need to ask the question. Just looking at Psalm, a very interesting thing in Psalm 73. I just want to read you a verse from Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, the person who wrote it was called Asaph here. He looked around and he saw that the wicked were prospering. He saw there were some people who were very healthy. He saw that some people, everything was going well. And as far as he was concerned, things weren't going well for him. He was having a bad day or a bad week or a bad how long it is. But then you get to verse 16. He said, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. All the dilemmas, all the struggles, all the people who were doing better than he was, had more than he did, were healthier than he was, and seemed to be blessed. When he stood in the presence of God, then I stood in the presence of God, and I understood all this. I know that God is for me. I know that God loves me. I know that God is a healing God. I know that God is my provider. I know that God will restore the peace into me. I like the Psalm 22. There's a worship song which is in Psalm 22. Jesus, we enthrone you. It's an old one, so I don't know. It may have fallen off your playlists. Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim that you are King. Standing here in the midst of us, we lift you with our praise. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. We always need to see that the presence of Jesus the power of Jesus is something which can transform every situation. I know hardly anything about, but I just know there are some situations which have been going on here which are really a real battle. And you can't just solve them by saying something, but you stand in the presence of Jesus. Say, Lord, you know, this is a terrible thing that's happened to me. Oh, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I didn't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen, and I don't know why it's happened. But as I stand in your presence, you fill me with your presence, and you fill me with your peace. Every day, every time you come here, you can walk in with anything you like, but you can walk out with a peace and the blessing of God. Do you want to say a bit about your presence thing? Because Joyce has a thing. We were just sort of sharing this morning as we were praying, and the Lord began to speak to Joyce about this whole thing about presence.
Two things. During the week, we are involved in a chaplaincy program to our local shops in the town. So we're part of a team, and we're dedicated as a team of pastors to go around the shops, just walk in every shop in a particular given area, say hello, say we're praying for your businesses, is there anything we can do to help you? Because if they won't come to us, we'll go to them, you know? That's it. Some of them most of them are just very grateful for that. But one of our chaplaincy team, because we were meeting this week before we went out on the streets, is an Anglican clergyman. And he just came in, we met in a coffee shop, and he said, I actually can't go out this afternoon. We usually go out in pairs. He said, I'm just too busy. And he looked overwhelmed, and I could see that he just had no time left, do you know? So we just released him and said, no, that's fine. You know, we'll have a cup of tea, and then you go and do what you need to do, and we'll go out on the streets. Because we've got to be gracious to each other, you know? But afterwards, I couldn't get it out of my mind about the fact that he did not have the resources for the work that he needed to do. And I've been in that situation. When you're so stretched, you just are jangly inside because you don't know whether you've got enough resources. So this morning, I was reading in my Bible, and we read the Bible through every year, usually in a different translation, so that you become, you just keep getting something fresh. But my Bible reading plan today was Exodus 33. And I want to read a little bit of it to you, because God is saying to Moses, or perhaps I'll just tell you for speed, God is saying to Moses, look, I will send an angel ahead of you when you go in, and all these tribes, these Perizzites and Jebusites and all the Ites, the angel will wipe them out, but I'm not coming with you. And Moses is horrified, because an angel is an angel, but actually an angel is not God. And he says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. I'm not going anywhere without you. Let me just read this. It says, this is God saying, this is Moses. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And God replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, then don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? Listen to this. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the earth? And God began to speak to me. He said, in this day and age, there is corporate presence. And I believe in the body of Christ. The number of times I've come into church services, half of me thinking, well, I'd rather stay in bed, but knowing that I have committed that I'm not staying in bed. I've committed I'm not going to such and such a person's birthday party or celebration until I've been to church. And I will say to them, I'd love to come, but I won't be there until 2 o'clock. Save me some food. You know, there's ways around these things. So you don't give offense to the people who have invited you, but your commitment first is into the presence of God. Because the number of times I've come there and somebody has just encouraged me, maybe a smile, maybe they've just said to me, oh, you know that word for the week last week, that really spoke to me, and my spirit lifts. Or it may be that I just see somebody, I look at somebody and I think, oh, they're hurting. And I can go up to them and I can just say, oh, you know, let me pray for you. Let me give to you. You're not here just to take. You're here to give. You're here to give worship to God, but you're here to minister to each other. And you need the gifts of the Spirit operating in you so that when you walk in here, you have eyes to see. Sitting here this morning, and the Lord just showed me a very strong image of an eagle. And the eagle actually goes up. The eagle soars up there, but the eagle can see, has such wonderful eyesight. He can see his prey and he can drop like that. And, you know, we've got to have eyes that see. Eyes not only that see in this situation, but see in the world. So when we're as a chaplaincy going out into the shops, I'm not really, you know, it's a means to an end, but I want to see. I want to see if there's need. I want to see if there's an open heart. I want to see if there's a healing need. I want to see. Because I want to be alert all the time. But practicing that and in practicing knowing the sense of the presence of God, it starts here. It starts with your children, you know. So let me just say this to you. The distinguishing mark, Moses said, is your presence. Now, in the presence of the Lord, you could do a whole Bible study on this, are various things. There's fullness of joy. In your presence, there's life forevermore. In your presence, there's understanding, as Charles has just said. But in your presence, there's all sorts of things. And you could go through the scriptures, take a concordance, and just go through and have a look at presence and what promises come with presence. But I want to talk about rest. Because the presence of the Lord gives you rest. And actually, the thing which will distinguish the people of God from the people of the world around is rest. You know, every person you talk to, I'm so busy, I'm tense, I'm stressed. Oh, I'm so stressed. I'm stressed out. I need a drink. I'm stressed out. How many people, believers as well, are not actually getting comfort from the presence of the Lord, but it's the quick, you know, glass of red wine where they come home from work? And we've, perhaps not all of us done it, but I've done it. And the Lord said to me at one time, you know, it's not the red wine you need at the end of a day. It's actually me you need permanently because I am more than wine. I'm more than wine. And, you know, I just want to say to you that many years ago, the Lord showed me, he woke me in the middle of the night. I perhaps had been overdone, I don't know. I woke at 3 o'clock for a whole series of nights. And when I woke, I was lying in bed, restless, and the Lord said to me, get up and go downstairs. Well, we have a warm kitchen because we have an aga in there. And I said, what am I coming down here for? And he said, you're coming here to be with me. So I sat at the kitchen table. My natural thing would be get my Bible out and read my daily reading plans. And he said to me, sit. Be still. The scripture came to me. Be still and know that I am God. So I just sat there, but I couldn't sit there. My mind was, and I had a piece of paper, which I often do have, and I'm writing all sorts of things down. And eventually, I felt the Lord sort of an invisible question mark, you know. He's not actually questioning you specifically, but he's questioning you. And he said, you don't know how to be still, do you? I said, no. And I don't. He said, well, I can teach you how to be still, how to enjoy my presence, how to actually abide in my presence. And you don't, it doesn't involve words. And what the Lord said to me is, you stand in my presence, and this is important for this morning, you stand in my presence, I scan you. Scanning is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It reveals things without having to ask any questions, do anything. It's an electronic device or whatever it is. Some people could tell me more about what it actually does. But you see through the layers of the body into the whole system, you scan and you know what's wrong. And God said, let me scan you. And I just found that over and over again when I was overwhelmed with people's problems, I just said, Lord, here I am. Scan me. I haven't even got got the energy to tip it all out on you. Scan me. Take it. And I began to realize over those months that God began to teach me about rest. It isn't the absence of work. It's actually the anointing of the wisdom and the presence of God that actually enables to do what, but you're not doing it. You're letting Him do it through you. And somehow or other, there's a peace in that. Now, I am absolutely convinced that we as the body of Christ live in that rest. Then we will have a smile on our faces and people will be saying to us, you never seem to get stressed. What's the secret? It's a great testimony, a witness. Some years ago, we had some Japanese people staying in our house, and one of them wasn't a Christian. And in the morning, the telephone rang. They were having breakfast in our kitchen, and there was a crisis situation in the church. So I just am listening to it. I prayed with the people on the phone. The details are irrelevant. But immediately this woman, this Japanese woman, who wasn't a Christian, said to me, you've got peace. You've got peace. What is this peace and where do you get it from? It ended up over the weekend we led her to the Lord. Because she had seen peace. She understood that the situation was a bit dire, and it was. But she understood that we didn't panic and go, oh, terrible, 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 I'll come around. You know? No, 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 no. Actually, what does God want to do in this situation? What's God saying? Where's the focus? Where are we putting people's eyes? You know? And I do believe that God gives commanded work, not uncommanded work. And we wear ourselves out with uncommanded work. So, you know, let's go back to the Lord and say, this is your day. It's the day you've made. I'm your servant. What are your instructions for today? Sometimes he'd be very specific. Sometimes he'd actually tell you not to do that much, to take a rest, to spend some time with him, because you need recharging. Judith, I know, knows Billy Akani, who is our Nigerian friend. But I know that we have been in Nigeria when he has been ministering for 10 days to a group of 40,000 people. And he's as fresh at the end of those 10 days as he was at the beginning. And he will have been speaking for hours. He will come down off the platform and he will stand on the platform. You know, there's no protection around him. And very, very often, the situations I was just thinking about this morning, he'll come over to Charles and I and we're sitting somewhere in the audience. He'll take our hand. I just want to talk to you a minute. And he's got the next thing that actually he's planning in his mind. But it's not like, give me a break, I've ministered, you know, I need some peace. It's like, no, it's the Lord who's ministering. So I can actually work from that place of rest. The presence is here. Presence is internal. You know, Moses had to go to the tent of meeting to meet with God. We meet with God by the power of the Holy Spirit on an absolute day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. It's our privilege, folks. We have the presence of God. But the distinguishing mark between you and I and the folks out there who don't know yet know Jesus is the peace of God that passes understanding. Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You probably know the verse in Philippians where it says, you know, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then it says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. It says, the peace of God that passes all understanding. It doesn't say the peace of God which solves your problems. It says, the peace of God which passes understanding. So whatever is going on, that distinguishing mark of God's peace is something which is for you. And in fact, there's some other things I'm going to add in, and they're important. But I do really believe that this whole sense of being living in the rest and living in the peace of God is something which we've really got to grasp. And God wants to minister it into your lives today. So I've come to church, and I've worshipped, and the dilemmas have been just taken, and the peace of God is being pouring over me. His presence is with me. His rest is with me. So, what else have I come for? I've come to receive God's word. And my life is based on God's word. So I always want, I have a word that I'm standing on all the time. But then every time I get a freshness of the word that comes as I come to church, and whoever's ministering the word, I'm just looking for a word that I'm going to get hold of. Yes. And it's going to do me good. And I'll just tell you something. This is just a sort of an aside, because I worked with Pastor Colin for a number of years. And when the whole of the ministry was actually living in a place called, it's based in a place called East Molesey, the Lord said to them, go to the local Anglican church. And when Colin and the folk got down there, it was not the most inspiring place in the world. And Colin was complaining to the Lord and said, Lord, do you want me to go there? He said, you go there with your heart open and you'll hear my word every week. And that's what happened. God spoke his word, but that's just a little aside. So, it says about the word of God. There's a psalm I want just to turn you to in Psalm 138, because this is the thing about the word of God, and which is very, very important. Psalm 138, and I think it's verse 2. I will bow toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. You have exalted above all things your name and your word. So I will have a word which is going to be above the situation. I'll just give you a personal testimony, and it goes back a number of years, because I was ministering and up in Sussex with Kingdom Faith, and we were in the Hyde, and there was a ministry to lead us that I was responsible for, and things were changing, and that particular aspect of ministry was going to end. And then people would come to me and they'd say to me, oh, I see that your leaders' weeks and these conferences, you're not going to be doing them. No, the Lord just made it clear that there's something else. I said, well, what are you going to do now? Now, that can become rather challenging. What am I going to do? And I actually was at peace in my heart, but the questions kind of disturbed me. Until I turned, just one day, reading the scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10, which says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. I thought, hallelujah. So when someone said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do the works that God prepared in advance for me to do. Now that sounds rather religious answer, doesn't it? But basically, it is the right answer. And so I just said, Lord, I know that that's what you have promised. And the years rolled by and we traveled here, there and everywhere. And did ministry, and you know, the Lord just opened doors and been all over the world sharing the word of God in places I'd never dreamt that I'd be going. But God prepared those works. God provided for our needs. God blessed our family. Why? Because we're walking in his word. And then, you know, you go on a day by day, something comes through. Just a few days ago, I think it was in our faith food, you know, my hope is in God alone. And David said, God, my hope every day, my hope is in God alone. And you get a scripture. And so, in fact, interestingly, this morning, here we are on this preparing and just praying and doing what we do every morning. And so I said, right, do you want to hear faith food? So I just say to Josh, you might be kind of writing in a book or reading something else. She said, okay, I'm ready. And then it said, the name of Jesus. I thought this is interesting. Does the devil know who you are? He certainly knows who Jesus is and trembles at the very sound of his wonderful and all-powerful name. How much are you using the name to inflict damage on the devil's kingdom? You have been given the privilege of binding and loosing, telling the mountains of whatever kind to move, rebuking sickness, disease, and every work that is contrary to the kingdom of God or the will of God, and by using the authority which resides in the name of Jesus. And it carries on about the power of the name of Jesus. So, when I come as a body of people and we look at the attacks of the enemy and we look at what's coming against us, we have been given the name. He has exalted above all things his name and his word. And therefore, we have to take hold of that name. In situations in your life, you say, I will not receive that in Jesus' name. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. The name has been given to us, and that name will defeat every device of the enemy. Amen? And I just found that to be really, suddenly thought, isn't that interesting? Here we are kind of preparing for this morning, and there's that word about the power of the name and the power of the word. And so as God speaks his word out, we receive that word into our lives. And so that's why we read the word every day. I mean, I know some of you are been following reading the word of God through these Bible reading plans. I read the word of God every day because I need the word of God every day. But I come to be with the body of believers because I want to receive the word of God. I know that word of God's going to be good. The now word of God. God, this is what you're saying to me today. This is your word into my life today. Amen. I come to be with the family of God. Said a bit about this already. But I discover that when I'm together with the body of Christ, we are just a very mixed bag of people. Okay? You know, we're all different. And we interact with each other. You know, you'll get your cup of coffee at the end, and you'll stand there, and you'll start talking to people. And there'll be people who you need to encourage. There are people who need to encourage you. There are situations that you need to pray into. But it puts everything into a context. You know, people, we have folks in our church who have recovered from addiction and alcoholic and drug addiction, and we got some wonderful, you know, testimonies of God's victory in bringing people through that. When you talk to those folks about what their week's been on, it's different than what I'm involved in. Then there's folks who are in business. Then there are folks who are in other kind of professions, and everybody's got a different scenario. We just need to be in a bunch of mixed folk. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, I'm sorry, it may seem I'm kind of insulting you all. I'm not. I'm saying the health of a believer is to know that we have a whole bunch of people all going through different circumstances, and we're here to build one another up. Okay?
I just want to say a word about the body of Christ, because we're the place where people get healed. We're in the corporate. We are the place where people can actually be built up and healed. Now, one of the things that I believe is a disease in our modern society is actually loneliness. People are very lonely, very isolated. And the way we're living as a society is perpetuating that. So it's come to my mind at times that we as the body of Christ need to think this through. But I actually believe the Holy Spirit is there before us, because you've experienced the thing when you're just washing the dishes and suddenly a name, you know, a face comes in front of you. Now, I want you, when that happens, to say, Lord, what's that about? Who is that? What's that for? It could just simply be a text message. Are you okay? I was thinking about you when I was, you know, this morning. It could be you know more about that situation. You think that person really just needs a quick phone call now to say, thinking about you, are you okay? I talked yesterday about hospitality. Hospitality is just wonderful. And we've got to get over the pride thing of I haven't dusted today and I haven't cleaned my loos. You know, we've got to be spontaneous. But if you see people and you think to yourself, I know I've got enough tea for them, then say, come. One of these young men who has been in and out of church, he was wonderfully saved. He's come all off the drugs. He's... you know, he's got a job, he's actually, but he's become iffy about church. So we see him perhaps once, if he's not got a duty to do, we see him. If he hasn't got a duty to do, we don't see him. And I tattled him one day and I said, his name's Danny, and I just said, Danny, why are we not seeing you every week in church? And he said, oh, you know, I'm working now and I get tired and I need to, and I said, if you are a burning coal, you need to be with fire and you need to be with other burning coals and you need to encourage each other. If you take the coal out of the fire and just stick it on the hearth, it will eventually just get ashy, and after it's got ashy, it'll go out. And he heard me say that. And I said to him, he said, well, Sunday... And I said, well, what about you haven't got a car, so I know it's difficult to come to our house because we live a little bit out of the church environment. So, but could you get a bus to our house? And he said, yes, I could. So I said, okay, why don't you just come to tea one night? Well, you would have thought I'd given this bloke £1 million. For me to add one more person into my evening meal... no big deal. For him, like, you actually want me to go and do my house, and have, you know? And I just want to say that hospitality, in an age where people are not being hospitable, is another one of these signs and wonders, you know? We have, in our own church, we have a hospitality family on every Sunday, so that basically people who want to be on the hospitality rota can offer that they will offer hospitality, I might be once every 3 months, but there will be somebody, so we can say to new people in the church, if you would like to have a meal and get to know some people from the church, this house... these people, wave at us, are actually hospitality families. You might just get a bowl of soup and a bread roll. It doesn't have to be a fancy meal, but you'll get something. But you'll fellowship. And part of that hospitality is a fellowshipping thing. And I just want to say to you, folks, in the church, when we were growing up, hospitality was valued. The brethren that I was part of had a little book which had names of brethren families all over the world. They used to give it to merchant seamen. And they used to say, if you're in Singapore, look at the book. Those people will always host you. Isn't that wonderful? All over the world there were families who had somehow subscribed to this book. I can't even remember what it was called. But people would say, when I go to a port... I look at my little book and I think, if I need some fellowship, I'll ring these people up, I go to church with them, and they'll look after me. I think we need to reintroduce that back into the whole body of Christ, because the loneliness we've got to address, you know.
Just to add into that, one of our folk in church about 2 years ago, a lady called Joan, she discovered she had a lump in her breast and she had going for treatment for breast cancer. Now, you know, the body of the church, particularly our own life group, and the rain body of that, we had just hung in with Joan. We have prayed, and we've been there with her every step of the way. I'm glad to say that Joan has now been declared cancer-free. Hallelujah. And, you know, we had kind of like emails coming around. We just kept the communication going, and we just kept praying. And we have some friends who we're praying for, but we're really concerned about these friends. The wife is going through some very, very difficult times. But these folk, who have been very active in church life for many, many, many years, are now isolated. The communication about the whole situation is on a WhatsApp group. And I'm afraid, I find it miserable. Sorry to be so straightforward about it. So we get a little bit about the next thing, which we pray about. Then there's all these responses and little praying hands and stuff. I think, I'm not sure how much power of faith there is in emojis and praying hands. Excuse me being so cynical about the whole thing. And I just think, that dear couple, they just need to be in the middle of a body of Christ. And you know, folks who've isolated themselves, you know, when things start going wrong, who is actually surrounding you with faith, prayer, love, and care? That's why we are the body of Christ. And so I just am very, very, very passionate about it. And I just find, even just on an ordinary Sunday morning, just, you know, folks stay around forever, you know, chatting. I think, hallelujah, this is great. And you realize, and then you discover things. And Joyce say, I just spoke to so-and-so, and so-and-so. And then it goes on. So, I won't say any more on that. I've just got one more thing, and then we're going to do some praying. We come so that we will catch a vision of what it is that God wants us to do. Because I want my life to be fruitful for God for the whole of my life. And I'm happy to be here sharing the word with you. Loved sharing the thing on families and investing in children and teens and everything. But I want to be able, my life to be, to have a sense that God is with me. He wants to use me. It said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. That is the word of God to every single one of you. God chose you. He chose you to be fruitful. Every one of you, he chose you to be fruitful. What is fruit? Fruit is actually bearing the name of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the power of Jesus into every situation. Joyce talked about our chaplaincy. It's sort of slightly, almost a funny word, you know. We're up there, we've got our little sort of our little hoodies and things with our name across the back, and we're talking to people. Why are we there? Just because we want to say to the greengrocers, I hope you sell more cabbages? No. We're there because we want to, we know that we are an avenue where God can move. And, you know, when I wake up in the morning, there are times you can be pretty miserable, you know. We're all capable of getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, what's it all about? However, when we gather together, when we encourage each other, when we inspire one another, I get up and say, Lord, I want to be doing today what you want me to do. You have works. Works aren't necessarily traveling to Tajikistan to do some ministry. Ministry is doing what Joyce says, picking the phone up. Being in touch with people. We also, about a year ago, an email arrived about our neighborhood watch. And the email said, this lady who'd been looking after it for a few years, she said, I don't want to be continuing this. I'm not really able to do this. Is there anybody willing to take over coordinating neighborhood watch? So I just said to Josh, what about it? I said, great, we'll take it on. So the email goes back. It's us. We'll have it. And so, why? Because we've lived in this road for 30 years and hardly knew anybody. But the door is opening. We've been around talking to people, but our next door neighbor, a very tragic situation, a young couple in their early 40s with two kids, and Rick, the husband and father, he died suddenly. We were in Australia, and suddenly we get this message from Jane saying, I just don't want anybody else to tell you, but you just need to know that Rick was off exercising in the local gym, swimming, and he just died. It was a sudden death, heart attack, or whatever it was, he's gone. Immediately, we picked the phone up to Jane and said, oh, we'd just love to be able to put our arms around you. Because we're in Australia, it's too far away. But our house is empty. You've got a key. It's yours. Do what you like with it. Fill it full of people. Spoke to our son, said, stick the central heating on, light the arga. And we just said to Jane and her family, you can put as many people in that house as you like. As far as we're concerned, it's yours for a whole month. I thought, well, praise the Lord. And then I was able to write, not a message saying someone may rob your garden shed, but I was able to write out and say, look here, you folks in the road need to understand that we have a lady there who is going through a real terrible time and she needs your love and care and, you know, you need to be able to... And the neighbours, they rolled up and they came around and they did the shopping and they blessed her. And I just thank the Lord that we were the people who could communicate with the neighbours. And then you've got to write. And you talk to a neighbour and say, actually, we coordinate the neighbourhood watch. I'm not saying to them, we just want you to find Jesus. That's the backstory. Do you see? Okay, I could go on chatting away, but I won't. I won't. I think that's about it. I think we should pray. Yeah, we do need to pray. I believe that what really was the beginning part of it. You know, sometimes the Lord gives you something, there are things. I believe they're all important because I believe the Lord gives them to you because they are important. But I do believe that this whole gift of the Lord's peace, that his presence is with you, that he know his rest and you know how to work out of that rest, I actually believe that that's what God is wanting to minister to everybody here today. And I want you to receive that. It is a miracle. When we stand in the presence of the Lord and we say, Lord, I just receive that rest. I receive your peace into my life. I know that I am telling you that all the things that are really troubling me, but I know that you're giving me the peace that passes understanding. And Lord, I'm going to walk in that rest. I'm going to walk in that rest day by day by day. And every time the enemy tried to rob it from me, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to reach into your presence and I'm going to know that place of rest.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.